Hello, this is Pastor Kevin. The message you're about to hear was prepared for my church family with prayer and care. I share it with you so that God's Word may impact your life as it has mine. Most of the message recordings on my website are accompanied by listening guides or note sheets to help you focus on the message and identify the key points. I encourage you to download and print the guide or note sheet for this message and use it to take your own notes. Taking notes will help you understand more clearly and remember longer what God is speaking to you. And when it comes to decision time, you'll find it easier to recognize just what God is asking of you. One more thing, pause the recording and pray, asking God to meet with you personally in the next few minutes. Ask Him to help you hear His voice through the delivery and through the content. That's why I put these messages online, so you could hear Him, not me. God bless you on your journey to fruitful fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm reading a book called Margin. At some point, I hope to share some of the things that I'm learning with some of you. I have run into the lack of something called margin in my own life, and I'm so glad to be past last year. The beginning of last year was a really difficult time for me. I told that story. A big part of it was because I lost the margin, the space in my life that God puts there to be a buffer when stuff happens. You know, you have stuff happen to you, stuff that happens to you. It's all kinds of different things, and God designed us to have a buffer zone, a margin, and we tend to eat that up. We tend to use it up for other things, and then when stuff happens, we're in deep trouble. You know what I mean? And some of you are out there nodding your head. You know exactly what I mean. The rest of you are headed toward it. But as I was going through that this week, I thought about something about some things I said about grace last week, and I was reading about one of the things that helps restore margin. That means that space, that buffer zone in our life, is expressing grace to others. Boy, I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about my own life. I started to think about you guys and other people, and I started to think about what it means to express grace to somebody. And then I suddenly realized something that in my heart I think about all the time. I'm just not sure that I have said it and said it clearly, that I found in Scripture that I think is amazing. I made a comment last week that if when you got saved, all you got was fire insurance for eternity, go take that back and get your money back. Because God didn't just give you something for all eternity out there. He gave you something for today. And this morning, walk with me through this. Some of you guys are like this. I'm beginning to find out this isn't just a guy thing. There's some ladies who are like this too. There's some guys who God's graciously delivered from this. Guys tend not to read instructions. Instructions. Do you know what those are? Have you ever seen one of those? Now, I'm a strange guy. When I get something new, one of the things I look forward to doing is reading the instructions. Isn't that weird? I will leave it sitting there while I open up the instruction book and read the instructions. See what it is. Sometimes I don't know what it is. But one of the first things, well, let me share this statement with you before I go on, because there's something in that slide I want to show you. Here's where we want to go this morning, okay? This is where we want to go. It's written right back here. That grace immeasurably transforms earthly life and immeasurably ensures eternal life. Now, guys, we focus so much on the second part of that. And we need to load up on the first part. And so here's where I'm going. Go to the next slide. It has that little white clip. I found this. I hunted for this. I've read this in so many instruction books. Of course, yesterday I could find none because I don't keep them. I don't keep them. They're written very poorly by people who don't speak English. But anyway, you can't see this, but I'm going to share this with you. This is for an aquarium. This is for an aquarium. I found this. It says, save these instructions. I'm sorry, that humors me. Save these instructions. Getting started. See three important safety instructions. Yeah, you could drown in an aquarium. It has a gallon of water in it. You could drown in that thing. And see important safety instructions before operating this unit. Completely install aquarium before plugging in. For household use only. So you don't want to use this commercially to grow fish to sell or anything like this. But here's the first thing. Here's the first thing on the instructions. The first thing. Now listen to this carefully. This is over and over in the first part of the instructions which you'll read. Remove all parts from package. Carefully. And check to make sure that you have all the parts. If you are missing any parts, please call our toll-free number, and we will send you whatever you are missing. The new trend is when you open up a box, especially from Walmart, they just must hate us. For, you know, Walmart is where the world shops for returnable merchandise. Right? Right? I've actually returned something broken. And found that broken thing that I returned 30 minutes later because I haven't left the store yet. You know how that is. Yeah. You're trying to use your in-store credit. find that thing sitting on the shelf. And I'm like, they're going to try again. But there's a card inside things now that says in big bold letters, do not return to store. If there are any parts missing, call our customer service number first. I guess they're getting a bad rap because they get their same, they have that one package they made that's missing a screw. I return it, somebody else buys it, and they return it, and it just gets returned and returned and returned. That poor company's getting a bad rap for one single box. But that's the beginning of so many instructions, to make sure you have all the parts. And here's where I'm going. I am concerned that with grace, we don't unpack the box and make sure we have all the parts. And there are some people in the church and some people close to the church out around, they've not really plugged in yet, who've gotten some cheap imitation of grace. Cheap imitation of grace. They've gotten grace that only talks about eternity. And that's not biblical grace. And if you've got grace like that, you need to check and make sure you've got all the parts, because grace is bigger than after you die. It's so much bigger than that. The Bible talks about it. But if you've got grace that's only good after you die, you need to make a phone call and order the other piece, okay? Because you need to have all of it. You need to have all of it. And that's why I titled it this morning, Immeasurable Grace. Immeasurable Grace. And so I want to walk through a scripture this morning and just show you a couple of things. There's a couple of things I hadn't figured out how to make a point in my sermon, so it's not on your sheet. And so we'll walk through those two. But turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, right there at the beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, sometimes we overlook in the letters that Paul wrote. We overlook some of the first stuff and we overlook some of the last stuff because he says some of this stuff over and over and over. Do you know what I mean? Hello? He says some of that stuff over and over and over. And I believe that some of it is said over and over and over because it's really important. And we shouldn't ignore it. And so we want to make sure we have everything in the midst of this, in the midst of all this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. That in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. there. I'm going to try and make sure you get the blanks. If not, for a dollar, you can buy them. And now, if you're missing something, come up and ask me afterwards. The answers are free. But you have to endure the explanation. And so the first thing I want you to see out of this is that grace, and this is the big key idea, grace extends beyond salvation. Grace extends beyond salvation. It's interesting here that it describes that you were enriched in verse 5. You were enriched in him. That means in Jesus Christ. And he's talking about grace. Now, grace is offered to us through the Word of God. But it is supplied to us through Jesus Christ. Now, God's Word offers grace to everyone. But the way you experience grace is through Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. And grace is this amazing thing. This word enriched, it's a term about wealth. It's interesting that it is used here and not having to do anything with money. And you see that the concept that Paul has of grace is that when you are given grace, you become unusually wealthy. And the concept in their day of a wealthy person is the wealthy person has privileges and opportunities and comfort that someone else does not have. And when you experience grace, all of grace, what Paul wants to communicate is that you have opportunities and supplies and privileges and comforts that others don't have. Without grace, there are some things that you will miss in life. You will be totally missing those things. And that's why it just amazes me that people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior endure like they do. Because they have so little to help them endure. They're missing all of the wealth of life that grace brings and gives to us. Now you see, money can't buy the things that grace can give. And so it's a different kind of wealth. You're enriched in him. You're made wealthy in him. And look, it doesn't say just in eternity that you're made wealthy. Oh, I want you to know, you're going to feel wealthy when you go home. You ever had to paint your house? Anybody ever remodeled? Anybody ever remodeled? Done that? You know, because you want to kind of freshen things up. And maybe you hated the way your house looked from the day you bought it. You just couldn't wait until you saved up enough money to make it right. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. You're going to feel wealthy when you get to heaven. Because when you get to heaven, to go into the great city of heaven, you're going to walk past angels. You know, in Genesis, there is an angel set to guard and keep anyone from coming back in. But I want you to know, when you die and go to heaven with Jesus as your Savior, you're going to walk right past those angels. And they're not going to step out in front of you to block the way. And not only that, but it says that the 12 gates of that city, each one of them is like a single pearl. And they're not just pearly, like they contain some pearl. They are pearl. Do you see what I'm saying? The whole thing is a pearl. And that pearl gate is going to open. So you're going to walk up to a pearl gate. Now, is that some front door or what? That's better than a front door with leaded glass side lights. You know what I mean? I mean, that is a door. And that door is going to open to you. That angel, sometimes I picture it like this. I don't know how this is going to be. I don't know if this is how it's going to be. This is not scripture. But every now and then I think that angel is going to reach over and turn the knob and open it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I could see that. And when that door opens, I want you to know when that door opens, you're not going to go in there and see IKEA furniture. You're not going to go in there and see some big, fancy name brand furniture. You're not going to go in there and see handmade furniture. You're going to go in there and you're going to see the fixings of heaven. You see, when that gate opens, what's in front of you, the road, the path that's in front of you, the Bible says, and this is figurative. This is figurative, okay? So what figurative means is the real things is 10 times, 100 times better. We just don't have language to describe it. And so we don't have language to describe. Here's how it's described. The streets are paved with pure gold like clear glass. Now, if that's a sorry explanation of what that is, I can't wait to see it. Amen? And the buildings are all going to be, it says they're made of gold, the same kind of gold. And there's not going to be any street lights, LED, sodium vapor, or mercury vapor. I mean, there's not going to be any of them, okay? Because the Bible says that the glory of God and of the Lamb will illuminate. It says that. So when the pearly gate opens, the glory is going to shine out, and it's going to be reflected off all of this stuff that's just golden. It's just absolutely amazing. I want you to know, when you go to heaven, when you arrive there, you're going to feel wealthy. Because it's extraordinary. But what this passage says is before you ever get to heaven, before you ever get to eternity, today, through grace and everything, you're needed. Do you hear that? It says that. And so grace extends way beyond salvation. And grace touches every part of your life today, not just your eternity out there. It touches everything today. And he describes some of how it touches all of that. He goes through and it says you are enriched in everything. And then it describes in all speech and in all knowledge. And then just a little bit later, and just so you'll make sure that it's not limited to speech and knowledge, verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift. You're not lacking in any gift. And what that tells us is the second thing that's down here is that grace totally enriches a person. Totally. Not partially. You're not going to get through grace some good things. That's not what the Bible teaches. The windows of heaven are open to you. And you are enriched in everything. He points out in all speech and all knowledge, but in case you're thinking it's limited to that, it's not limited to that, so that you're not lacking in any gift. This is all over the Scripture. I want to show you one place I think that's just really, really clear. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm not a very good reference person, so I hope I got this right. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to notice the first word. Grace. Do you have that as the first word? We have some other first words. I didn't check out all of the possibilities in the original language. Grace is the first word. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Savior and of Jesus our Lord. Did you see the knowledge there? That's the knowledge that was talked about just a few minutes ago. The verse 3. Listen to this. This is a continuation of grace and peace be multiplied to you. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory through Jesus. Everything. And some people think it's just everything pertaining to godliness. That's not what it says. Everything pertaining to life. Everything. Everything. You see, grace totally enriches you. What God wants to do with your life is he doesn't want to come and just help you something. He wants to come and totally transform your life. He wants to transform your life so that you see things differently and you experience things differently. Oh, the same circumstances may exist around you. But what God wants you to understand through grace is that circumstances don't define your life. That is a lie of the devil. Jesus defines. And so when God comes and he grants grace, he's not interested just in the way out there hereafter. so what he does is we're considered poor until we trust Jesus as our Savior, spiritually poor. And when we trust Jesus as our Savior through Jesus Christ, we experience the grace of God. And guys, you get salvation through Jesus Christ. But that's just a piece of what you get through Jesus Christ. You're totally enriched in everything, in every way. And everything pertaining to life and godliness. You're not lacking in any gift. Now, I want to call on you to do something bold. I want to call on you to believe. Because there is so much I can't, I'm not able to, I'm not strong enough, I'm not sharp enough, I don't have any other skills. That's not my personality. I don't have that kind of endurance. There is such a prevalence of that kind of stuff in the world today. I want to challenge you. I want to call on you to believe and live a life of grace that is enriched in everything, made wealthy in every part of your life, not lacking. Possessing all that pertains to life. Now that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. So I want to invite you to go to that place. And there's something else interesting in this passage. Did you hear how it started out? I thank my God always concerning you. And then it says this, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't give them the grace. It says, which was given you in Christ Jesus. God gives the grace. He gives it through Jesus Christ. Paul is just watching. He is just watching. One who knows about grace watches someone else get grace. And what Paul saw was a total transformation of a people. Now, their transformation is still in progress. Read the rest of the book. This is the book of 1 Corinthians. If you want us to be a New Testament church, watch out. Watch out. There's some rough New Testament churches out there. But he sees them transformed because they're coming to Christ. They're seeing the world differently. They're changing. And you see, when grace gets hold of you, it's obvious. It's obvious to someone else. And what happens when you begin to live by grace, and it becomes so obvious, those who know grace look and their heart just swells up and thinks, yeah. Because they so bad want other people to experience what it means to live by grace. And so what Paul is saying is he looks.
They got it! They got it! Do you see that? They got it! They got it! Have you seen the Corinthians? They have it too!
That's what's going on in his heart. You may read those words and say, I thank my God always. And what's really going on in Paul is he's pretty pumped. He's pretty pumped about what he sees. Because it can only happen by the hand of God. It only happened by the hand of God. And so here's what I want you to write down there in that next space. Grace in my life influences others. It influences others who already know about grace. But did you know that through our words, just like God offers grace through his word, that it comes through Jesus Christ? Did you know that through our words, the Bible wants us to extend grace to others? But no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. But only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. Listen to this. That it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:29. There's scriptures like that all through the Bible. That God wants us to extend this grace. He wants to work through us so we extend that grace even to others. Now they have to have Jesus Christ to experience it. But they can see it in their lives. And we can extend it to them. And so grace. everything, not just salvation, but everything. That whole big picture of grace in my life, it influences others. It gives them a chance, if they know about grace, to get really excited and give thanks to God. So your life of grace can start a conversation with God and somebody else. Or for those who don't know yet, you can extend grace to them through your word. So we can extend that. In 2 Corinthians, just a little bit beyond where we are, Paul makes an interesting statement. In chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, the very first verse, Paul says this. He says, "We also urge you not to receive the grace of God." And what he's saying is, don't fall for a concept of grace that doesn't have all the parts. Make sure you get everything. Because if you have grace that only deals with salvation, if you have grace that only deals with salvation, then you're not living the grace life today. Because you've never plugged in to real grace. It's not just about salvation. And so the last point you have there on your notes is receiving only salvation is receiving grace in vain. In vain. That renders it useless. That's not real grace. Grace is the whole thing. When God offers us salvation through Jesus Christ, and by grace we're saved. When he extends that, he extends life today and forever. He's not just extending forgiveness so that you can go to heaven. He's extending to you life. Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the eternal." Now, he says, "I am the way, the truth." It starts today. And so here's the takeaway. It's at the bottom of your sheet. The first statement that I read. Grace immeasurably transforms earthly life and immeasurably ensures eternal life. Open the package. Look and make sure that you have all the pieces. And this morning, if you find out that you don't have all the pieces, we're going to invite you to make a phone call through prayer and receive the pieces. Because God wants you to have everything. And so that's immeasurable grace. So last week when I talked about that grace was more than just salvation, I thought, you know, I just need to walk back and explain what I mean. Because grace is amazing. I think there's a song. Grace is marvelous. I think there's a song about it. And you don't want to miss any part of it.
This is Pastor Kevin once again. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to and to learn from God's Word. Often, when I listen to Bible preaching with an open heart, God speaks to me. He gives me instructions. He imparts wisdom. And many times, He calls me to a point of decision where I will have to say yes or no to Him and to His ways. It's easy to move on after listening to a recording and make no adjustments to our lives, to make no headway toward the new obedience God calls us toward. I want to invite you to respond to this message. I'd like to encourage you to keep going with the things God has spoken to you through this message. And I'd like to do that through personal correspondence. So let me extend this invitation to you. Use the contact form on the website to send me a note about how God has spoken to you through this message. Share the insight God has taught you. Share how you believe God is calling you forward in your walk with Him. Share with me any steps of obedience you believe God is asking of you. And please include the sermon title too. I'll pray for you and write you back to see how you're weaving these new truths into your life. I look forward to hearing from you. Don't let God's word lie dormant in your life. Do something about it today. Contact me.